Hello, you beautiful humans, and welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic with me, your host, Mel Wells. Today's episode is a really juicy amalgamation of conversations. Oh my God, did I just say that? Amalgamation of conversations all around feminine leadership. Oh my goodness, so excited. With some of the best leading voices in their field, we're talking about how to live your dharma through your work, what authentic business is, and how to share your message with your community, leading with feminine energy first. We're talking about multi-passionate entrepreneurship. We're talking about how to know if your business is in alignment with your soul. I'm sharing my personal lessons from entrepreneurship and leadership and so much more. So let's dive in. Nowadays with social media, it's easy to get overwhelmed and maybe see other people online that we think, well, they look so happy. They must be living their dharma. That must be mine too.
Right.
What would be your advice for that? If people find themselves like often comparing or kind of, is it quite common for someone to go, well, I really like who I follow and I want to do what they do without kind of checking in with themselves?
Yeah. And it's coming from a really natural place of like, as humans, we learn from the time we're children of monkey see, monkey do. So we're like, Mel looks happy. So what's Mel's business like? Okay, that seems to be one that's working, but Mel has completely different karma than you, completely different ancestral lineage than you, completely different soul plan, everything. So because it's working for Mel, it doesn't even work for me.
You know?
And I'm also doing very similar things to you, but we do it in totally different ways.
Totally.
So I think you can't go wrong. You can try it, but you're probably going to get some resistance in different ways, and that failure is going to be your feedback. And if you can keep listening to that, you'll find what works for you. So I would say your desires are sacred. So if you are drawn to, like, let's say you're really looking up to coaches, there's probably a reason why you're looking up to coaches, but that doesn't mean because this person's business model is they do webinars, webinars are the thing, or this person does ads, ads are the thing. And you're going to go through a trial and error to find yours.
Right. And it may be that you follow that path of coaching and it actually leads you on to something completely different.
Totally. Yeah. So trust, if it feels expansive for you, I always say the best way to make a decision is tune into your body. If it feels expansive, and what does expansive feel like for you? So when you feel into the energy of expansiveness, what does that feel like for you somatically?
It feels like an opening. It feels like a freedom. It feels like a greatness and excitement and a little bit of like goosebumps in the body, a little tingles.
Love that. So that's your compass. That's your North Star. So if you feel into the energy of contraction, what does that feel like for you?
Like stuck, stagnant energy. Yeah, like tightness. Feels like I'm getting smaller rather than bigger. Feels like I'm limiting myself. Feels like a stuckness. Yeah.
So if I started listing things that may work for someone else, like run a bunch of Facebook ads, like what does your body say?
I mean, I could do the Facebook ads, but I'm not lit up by it.
So,
but I'm like,
so you might be like, okay, there's a little bit of expansiveness at the possibility of that. So I'll go there.
Yeah.
But then it might say, okay, go and record a million videos tomorrow. And then that might be like, oh no, that's going to feel contractive. And then you find this feels expansive and you start to use your body as the compass. So for example, I know people who just the idea of coming on live for things, it feels really contractive for them. They don't want to be live. They want things to be recorded. They want to have a teleprompter. That makes them feel safe. And I know for other people that, for me, that feels like the most contractive thing ever, right? But we're still making, we can make the exact same videos, but in different ways. So tuning into how the body would respond.
And even like within this industry, I imagine there's a lot of people listening that are coaches or maybe want to be coaches or even just are inspired by coaches. And I want to say there's also like so many different ways that you can do that. You know, I started out doing one-on-one coaching, which I think is how everyone starts usually. But now I feel like I'm living my dharma way more by doing big groups, podcasts.
That's your events, visionary.
Retreats.
sometimes I'll one-on-one coach with like my students just for fun to see what it is. And I'm like, oh, this is like a fun experience, but it's never going to be my day-to-day again, because I know as a visionary, my gifts are best served to inspire groups of people. Whereas I know people who are multiple seven-figure coaches who will only do one-on-ones.
And it's that they love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it for them, it feels like they're on the ground and they know what people are feeling and they feel connected to people because they have more of the nurturer archetype in them. So it's just knowing what serves you. Then people like Joe Dispenza, who I don't think he really does coaching. He's doing research, and that's what's exciting for him. And then like Deepak Chopra, the same thing. It's very more in the researcher, more in the masculine. So there's so many different ways to share a message and to create transformation. It's just finding what serves you right now.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And I feel like now with Reels and all the different ways that we can share content, people's inner entertainers are coming out as well. There's so many different ways people can express themselves.
Totally. Because before it was like, you know, I would do these apps that I would lip sync, but I didn't have anyone to share them with. So then I kind of just would only do them for fun sometimes. But now that I have that option that it can be part of my business, I'm using more of my entertainer muscle than I would have before if I wasn't able to use it in my business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting for me, actually, as someone who was an actress, the whole like TikTok Reels thing hasn't been something that's like really drawn me in, which makes me think, wow, like I guess it was never the acting itself. Mm-hmm. You know, it was something else. It was
storytelling. Or you might love, you love a set. We're here on this beautiful
set. I do love a set.
You love a set. You probably want to feel like ready, and it's like your performance, right? Whereas I used to be on the improv team. So that's like a very different energy than like memorizing acts and like lines and acting. So
Maybe I like that. Yeah. That's true. I do get a lot still from storytelling and sharing and making people feel.
Yes.
But maybe, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also sometimes too, when you're in an archetype for so long, you're like, I want to explore the different parts of myself. So maybe right now you're like, I did the entertainer thing for a really long time. I want to explore, you know, the other forms of entertainment that are possible for me, which your book and beyond.
And how did you overcome that? Like, what steps did you take in order to really like be able to then step into your authentic self? Because I know that it hasn't been easy.
No.
I know that it's not easy.
No, it's not. You know, step one was removing people from my life that made me feel like I had to dim my light, which wasn't easy. I hired a life coach. She was such a permission slip for me. Mm. I started meditating. I started listening to my inner voice. I started journaling. I started going down the spiritual path in an even deeper way. I've always been connected, but I, you know, explore plant medicines. I've worked with so many different healers, like really, really took that journey within to know myself. And I had to let go of a lot of fear of what people thought of me along the way. You know, I think it's really easy to project and judge people. And I felt that, and it blocked me and held me back from really expressing myself for a while. And I had to let a lot of that go. I found my tribe. You know, I think it's so hard to human to be an entrepreneur, but to be a woman and to find your girlfriends, to find your people that lift you up, that support you and clap for you when you win as much as when you're down and hold you, like finding friends like that. Yeah. It's been a whole collective process, but I think it's the most important process that we can ever go on, not to build a business, but to take the journey within, to know yourself.
Completely.
And when you arrive there, not that it's a destination, but when you take that journey, you're able to show up with that much more courage.
Beautiful. I think for me, like the end goal or the aim of a personal brand, for at least what I think when I, because obviously I meet so many people that also have personal brands, and it's been such a long journey for me. I think my aim has always been like,
I want the Instagram to match the person. Like, sure. I want to feel like what I am online is who I am, and I want the two to match up.
Yeah.
You know, I never want someone to meet me and be like, oh, she's completely different.
Like the worst like, feeling, right? What? When you meet people like that you right. love and follow on the social, and then you meet them in real life, you're like, oh, ouch.
Yeah, exactly. So I never ever want to have that experience.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy having that experience, and I don't want people to have that experience for me. And I've had experiences in my past where I've tried to like create the perfect Instagram grid and da da da. And then I just feel like, wait, this is not me. I feel trapped. I can't mm-hmm. do this. Mm-hmm. Totally. I need to change this.
We are hostages to our grids at times.
Yeah. And people always love to ask me like, you know, what was like the key to your success? Like, when did things really take off? Like, was it a specific program? Was it a specific book? And I'm like, it was just the more I stepped into being myself and the more I stepped into my most real, honest truth and authenticity.
Yes.
You know, like from having this brand that was like the perfect health coach and the green smoothies and the salads and all the recipes and the yoga and da da da. And then as soon as I was like, actually, guys, you know, this is my life and I'm still like overcoming an eating disorder and actually this is too perfect and I'm breaking free from this,
yeah,
you know, and stepping into self-love and intuitive eating. And as soon as I started actually being more real for myself and for my people,
yeah,
it was like clients, totally. Clients, book deals, speaking events, like things started yeah. taking off. And I feel like almost in a way something similar happened last year when like I went through this breakup, right? And it was such a huge catalyst for my growth, such a huge initiation. And I was like, how on earth am I going to share this? Like, this is like the most, such a traumatic, hard thing.
Yeah,
I was like, it's going to actually, like, I was so proud of myself because I was like, it's going to feel harder for me to lie about this and pretend
totally.
Or like gloss it over.
Yeah.
It's actually, it feels way harder for me to be inauthentic about this and just be like, you know, this has ended and, you know, whatever, like very grateful, move on. You know? And then I was like, actually, it just feels really right and really authentic to just be real with like, this is what happens sometimes. And this is,
yes.
sometimes this happens and it's shit and it's hard and I'm going to work through it. And here we are.
Yeah.
And I think people were really grateful for just the realness.
Totally. I think that's what people want more than anything, more than they even realize. What I loved so much about, I mean, I was there for it when that happened to you. You did take a few weeks. Like you mentioned, like, I'm going through some things and I'm going to share in time.
Yeah.
And I think that's really an important point that, you know, the internet, as I was once told years ago, is not a place to process. Mm. It's a place to serve. It's a place to share wisdom and experiences and to add value. And not to say that you can't show up and you're in the moment, but you really took that time for yourself before you got on to really speak about it with clarity, even though you were still in it. And I appreciated that. I just went through a depression in January and February. I took 2 months almost off of Instagram. I did a lot of work. I did ketamine. I did talk therapy. I did a lot of unraveling. And I haven't actually shared this with my community, but I'll share it on your show. And I have a podcast myself, and my audience expects me to be really authentic and to share what's going on in my world too. But I couldn't share that in real time, right? I had to really, really process and go through that for me. But I know that what I went through, and now that I'm slightly coming out on the other side of it, feeling much better, I have something of value to offer my community now so that they, I'm sure many of them experience that too. And so for me to get on and talk about in detail, which I plan to do next month on my show, now that I'm past it, will be relatable, will be a safe space, will make them feel less alone,
yeah.
right? Because we all go through breakups. We all go through heartache. We all go through depression and anxiety and struggle. And so this is what I was saying earlier of, if you come on and make sure that you're delivering it in a way that is not just about you, but about what your audience needs, which is why I've resonated so much with your content, because it's so real for you, but you're talking to so many women, Mel, who've experienced heartbreak too. Mm. I mean, I years ago, and I was like, I've been there.
Yeah.
And I feel proud of her and I feel proud of myself for how far I've come and how far she's going to go. I mean, and we've met just today and there's this connection because you're so real and authentic. And I know that my audience feels that way about me too, because I can't hide it, but it can also be about timing, and you have permission, speaking to your community, to do things and share things when you are ready.
Thank you. I love that.
I feel like every entrepreneur who's, you know, started and growing their business that is truly making a difference and helping others in the world has chosen the path that's less traveled, you know, has chosen the path that didn't make the most sense, wasn't necessarily, you know, didn't have the roadmap necessarily laid out for them, but has taken a leap. And in my experience, it's taking that leap that just always, always pays off. And I also love that you shared about the piece about having a supportive family, you know, having your dad say, you know, it's okay for you to choose something that lights you up. You don't have to go down this path that's causing you to be miserable. And, you know, I personally had a really similar experience in my childhood where I saw my mom and my dad both running small businesses from home and really being able to do what they loved at home so they could still spend time with me and my brother. And my mom used to run this almost like a membership, but it wasn't online. It was in person. And her passion is looking after kids and children's education. And so she would like write up these worksheets and workbooks for the kids during summer holidays. And she would mail them to all these kids around the city. And I got to help her when I was only like a toddler. And I got so much joy out of being a part of that world. And it really taught me, oh, you don't have to go to the office every day and work for someone else. You know, you can help other people and still spend time with your family. And that was definitely one of the biggest drivers for me in starting my business. So Marie, you coined the term multi-passionate, which I just love and I relate to so much. I really resonate with that as a multi-passionate person, just like yourself. But you've also really been so good at nailing down on one main thing in your business, your epic program, B-School. So how has someone as multi-passionate as you are been able to focus so much year after year after year on this one thing? And do you have any advice for other multi-passionate entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs out there who want to just do it all?
Yes. Well, first of all, I think that as a multi-passionate entrepreneur, there's always going to be a lot of things that you're very interested in. There's probably a lot of things that you're gifted at. There's a lot of things that you have to offer to this world in terms of making a difference. And, you know, in the earlier part of my journey, after I discovered coaching and after I started my training, I started my business, one of the big realizations was that I actually never felt comfortable just calling myself a coach. It felt too narrow and too limiting. I was extremely passionate about dance and fitness, specifically hip hop. I was also really passionate about spirituality and writing and what was then a very nascent world of digital marketing. You know, I was advertising. I was writing an email newsletter before those things were even popular, all of these different things. And so one of the things that I recognized within myself that trying to artificially narrow my scope, especially in the beginning, was going to be a recipe for disaster. I had read every success book out there. I had read all of the different career books, like What Color Is Your Parachute? And so many different books and wise people would say, okay, you've got to pick one thing. You've got to narrow in. Even my coach training, which was fantastic, was like, okay, are you a productivity coach? Are you a relationship coach? Are you a career coach? And I just remember feeling like anytime I would try and adhere to that advice, it was like I was cutting off a limb. And it wasn't until that phrase came to me, multi-passionate entrepreneur, that I felt myself expand and that I felt myself finally giving me a new context to be the biggest, fullest, most multifaceted version of me that I actually was. And it was like, I am too big for these conventional definitions. I do not fit into these boxes that everyone wants to put me in. So for the next few years of my career, especially when I was starting out, I said, you know what? I'm not calling myself a life coach and I'm not only going to focus on that. I simultaneously developed an amazing career in dance and fitness, and that's a whole other story. But what I learned during this time was that at that particular stage and season of my life, I didn't have a mortgage or a family or anything like that. So I was very conscious of the fact that if I split my focus and I pursue multiple passions at once, I A, may not make as much money, and that's okay. And B, my progress in all of the different zones is probably going to be slower because I'm splitting my time and focus. So I went into this eyes wide open, and I recognized that by choosing to pursue multiple passions at once and keeping a bunch of plates spinning in the air, that I had to dial back my expectations in terms of external rewards or recognition. But I was doing that knowingly that my soul was going to be so much happier if I gave myself permission to experience the things that I felt were important for not only my professional development, but also my soul's development. These were things that I really wanted to explore and experience. And I never gave myself permission to as a younger person or even in college. So there was about 7 years, Mel, that I was doing the bartending, the coaching, the dance, the fitness. I was a Nike athlete. I was creating dance fitness videos. I was doing so many different things. And so I did that for so long. And then I reached a new point where I was really looking at my life. My relationship with Josh, who now I think we're going to be together almost 18 years, was probably just a year or two in. And I felt myself feeling I was ready for my next evolution. And I said, okay, what do I envision for my future? What is most important to me? And I didn't want to be scattered anymore. I'd kind of done that. And when I looked ahead at the future, I said, okay, if I try on a future in health and fitness and dance, what does that look like? What does that look like at age 40 or 50 or 60, like using my body as the sole source of revenue? Or if it was in fitness, potentially having to come up with some type of apparatus or product, you know, like taking it back old school, like a Thighmaster or something like that. Like that was going to be a vehicle towards wealth. And I was like, it didn't feel right when I tried that on. And then when I thought about the possibility of my entire career being focused on helping people with ideas and creating training and programs and speaking and writing books, I could see myself doing that into my 70s, 80s, 90s. Like there's something in my body that was just like, yes. Plus the virtual nature of it, the fact that I'm someone who loves freedom, that's probably one of my highest values. And I knew because of my experience and what I was building, I was like, I can do this from anywhere in the world. I can reach people all over the world. I don't have to be landlocked, which at that time, again, we're taking it back now to the early 2000s, mid 2000s, like the aughts, 2007, 2008, where, yeah, there was fitness videos, but we didn't have online apps. Like none of that stuff existed yet. So I made a choice then to go all in with my online business and coaching. And that's when I really just started to understand on a deeper level how many brilliant entrepreneurs, many of them women, who had ideas that they wanted to bring to life, had products or services that they wanted to get out into the world. They wanted to create something meaningful and profitable, but they weren't yet skilled. They didn't have the capabilities around marketing and sales. And when I would have these conversations with women, especially because of my fitness journey and being in New York City, and I had a book out already. So I was constantly talking with women and in conversation with them. They'd often say something like this, Mel, like, I'm the idea person. Like I have this great idea for something, but I want someone else to handle the business side. Or, oh, marketing and sales, like that's so negative. It's so aggressive. It's so pushy. I don't want to be a used car salesman. And Mel, I would want to take them and lovingly shake the crap out of them, because I was like, no, like marketing and sales, first of all, is the lifeblood of any sustainable business. But more importantly, what these women weren't understanding was that there was a new style of marketing, something I like to call modern marketing, where the best of your humanity comes out when you're practicing this, not the worst. And when I say the best, specifically, I mean your empathy, your compassion, your creativity, your sense of being generous, wanting to be of service, like all of the best parts of you when you're practicing how I teach modern marketing, you actually become a better you, not a worse you. Plus, it really is the secret to having your business not just be able to survive, but thrive no matter what's happening in the world. And after being in business for 20 years now, it's like, I'm not just saying this out of theory. I live this through practice.
So incredible. And I completely contest to what you're saying. I think the way that you teach people to sell goes against all of the old stories that people have from years and years of, oh, selling is bad. I don't want to be sold to and I don't want to sell. It feels icky. Yes. And, you know, you openly say, I love marketing and you help other people learn to love marketing. And I truly love marketing what I sell now, my products and my services, because I genuinely love what I'm offering. And so why would I not want to share that? But there's such a way that it can be done in such an authentic and loving way, as you say.
My loves, I have to share with you, if you are loving this episode and you are craving the tools, the practices, and the wisdom needed to start leading your business from a place of feminine energy and feminine leadership, the Queendom Mastermind is now open for enrollment for a year of mentorship with me. This mastermind is now the most accessible, most affordable, most inclusive that it's ever been. And I'm so excited to share it with you. The new and improved version for 2023. It's now open for enrollment for a year of mentorship. You can connect with fellow queens around the world, listen to guest expert classes, access an entire vault of masterclasses on leadership and business, strategy, creativity, expansion, launching, and so much more alongside learning from me and my fellow queens for an entire year. If you have been craving a mastermind that prioritizes feminine leadership and feminine energy and integrated masculine and feminine energies too, then go ahead and go to the link in the show notes or melwells.com/queendom to get involved. We start in February. Let's go.
Can you speak into this and kind of break down some of the blocks around like being able to be in your alignment, in your calling, listening to that voice, and still feel abundant financially?
Yeah. I mean, so financial wealth becomes inevitable when you're in alignment. And it's so interesting because literally I wrote the book. You know, the first thing I say to people in the book is you do not have to trade. And that is so much of what we've been indoctrinated to believe, right? So, you know, your first statement about, you know, we hear this, we've heard this narrative before, but yet and still so many of us still find ourselves chasing these external, you know, these false gods, right? For lack of a better term, right? Or a better phrase. And that is because for every message we hear around purpose and calling, we hear 1,000 other messages that are rooted in shiny gods and chasing false gods and shiny things, right? And so part of what we have to recognize is that the conditioning, we're still saturated in the old conversation when we look at messaging and conditioning. We see it shifting, but we still have a little ways to go before we really get to a place where 90% of what you're hearing is go pursue your purpose and calling. And not only are you hearing it, this is the other reason I wrote the book, Mel. It isn't enough to just get people to buy into an ideology. People need a roadmap. Mm. How do I do it? All right. So the book takes you step by step by step. How do I do it? So, okay, want to do it, bought in, but now how do I move there? How do I actually take advantage of it, right? And so our ability to surround ourselves and be in environments where we can continue to be reminded of what we're here to do and what we're here to bring, and we can continue to see examples of people living in purpose and calling and experiencing financial abundance, whether, you know, you're somebody who's fancy and you want all the accoutrements, or whether you're somebody that wants to keep it very, very simple. The beauty of being aligned with your purpose and the beauty of being in the center of your soul is that you get to decide, you get to choose, and you know that both are fine. Both are fine to have. Both are fine to express. There's no judgment on fancy. There's no judgment around simple. But one of the biggest lies that we have been told is that we have to sacrifice, whether it's time with our families, whether it's the love relationships that we, you know, so desire, whether it's our health and well-being, right, that we have to sacrifice in order to have material wealth. And it's just not true.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is that we can have it all. And there's definitely this constant background noise or voice that says, well, you can't have it all. Like, you've got to pick. Something's got to give. Or, you know, typical, as soon as I have this, this area of my life goes to shit. And it's kind of this, like, this old narrative that keeps us from believing that all of our desires and dreams are possible for us when we're in alignment. Yeah. Would you say that it's only possible to have it all when we are in alignment?
Well, here's what I would even say about having it all. You don't need it all. Mm. You just need what matters. So I'm about having what matters. Mm. And the opportunity for us to be in a real, authentic conversation with ourselves about what matters, right? Like, I love the fact that you made the decision, right? You're like, we need to be in nature. Like, that's what matters.
Yeah.
You know, what matters is not being, you know, being fly in the city. What matters is being grounded in the country, right? You feel what I mean. And I say this, Mel, because some of us don't feel like we have the permission to not want what everybody wants. Mm. We think we're supposed to want certain things, but we've not had the opportunity to really come into the heart of our own existence and our own soul and say, well, do I really want a $20 million business that I have to work 100 hours a week to maintain? I don't know that I want that. You know what I mean, right? Or can I have the $20 million business and work 10 hours a week? Or can you see what I mean? There's so much that we wrestle with around wanting. And so, you know, the first thing that we've got to do is, as we get still and we get quiet, is ask ourselves, what do I really want? What really, really matters to me? What's really, really important? Mm-hmm. And to know that money is on the table like anything else is on the table. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean you have to have everything on the table.
Yes.
You get to decide what really is important.
Yeah, and I think that there's so many other influences on what we want. And if we can get really clear and just spend time with ourselves, because so often we're following something that we think we are supposed to want because, like, our mum has wanted it for us our whole life, or our dad did it, so we want it. We have grown up with this belief this our whole life that I want to do that, but it's not actually us, our soul, that wants it, if we get really, really honest. And I've had similar experiences, you know, not from my parents, but from like joining masterminds or like working with coaches and then being told, like, oh, you should do this. And I'm thinking, I can see how doing, like, for example, you should launch this kind of a program. And I'm like, I can see how that would bring in more. I can see how, like, people would buy that. And I can see how that would be financially a good idea for me. But it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right in my body. Yes. And I have a shit ton of resistance to creating this thing. And it's ultimately because it just doesn't feel aligned. It's someone else's desire for me because they think that I should do this. And every single time that I've, you know, heard that and then checked in with myself, I get the most clarity and the most truth from just getting quiet with my own inner voice.
I want to come back to this question about, do you have to be in alignment to have all these things? And I actually would say to you, it's almost the reverse. So what do I mean when I say that? When you are in alignment, you need less. Mm. When you are in alignment, and this is an important distinction because there are a lot of people who have things, have a lot of things. And there are a lot of people who are good at certain things, but they're not successful by my definition, mm-hmm. right? Success is about fulfillment. So what we get to be tracking is, when I'm in alignment, do I feel the sense of fulfillment where I'm not necessarily looking to try to fill a void with a whole bunch of things? Right. Mm-hmm. I actually am like, I'm in an alignment. I'm so in alignment. Stay with me, beloveds. I'm so in alignment that I can enjoy this smoothie and that can be everything for me right now.
Yeah.
Right. And then I can launch a program next week and bring in $150,000. And then I can be on a vacation with my beloveds, right? And my dearest, dearest friends. And we're up in the mountains in some remote cabin. And, you know, we might have like electricity and water and, you know, but it's very basic, right? And I'm happy, right? Yeah. And then I can be in the city with my great grandma going to see a show, you know, a theatrical show, and we're like little kids laughing and joking. And, you know, so it's the quality of experience and your own sense of power and joy that we're seeking. And we attach them sometimes to these external things. Oh, well, I'll be happy when I do seven figures, right? I'll be happy when fill in the blank. And then what happens for some of us is we check those boxes, but the happiness doesn't follow. So we seek alignment because we seek fulfillment. We seek alignment because we seek being fully expressed. We seek alignment because we want to be all of who we really are. And the rewards of being in alignment is that the quality of experience becomes so abundant that everything becomes accessible, and you have an experience of richness no matter what you have and no matter what you're doing.
So beautiful. Thank you for your wisdom. Yeah, this reminds me of a lot of the work that I've done over the last 5 or 6 years for women, or with women, I should say, has been helping them to heal their relationship with food, overcome binge eating patterns, addictions around food, but obviously, you know, other things too, alcohol, sex, codependency, it's all part of the same thing. And something that really came through for me while you were just sharing is that when you are out of alignment, it is way easier for you to fall into you're much more susceptible to these habits, these addictive habits, you know, drinking a lot, overeating, because it's this filling of a void. But the filling of the void, like the void can only be full when you really prioritize fulfillment, because it's filling up from the inside out rather than constantly filling up from the outside in. So this is what I've been sharing a lot around food, like the last 5 years. And it sounds like what you're saying is the same thing, like focus on alignment, and then you will feel content and you will feel fulfilled by having this smoothie and, oh my God, enjoying it so much and just tasting you can taste life so much more, and you're grateful for so much more instead of like the constant need for like more handbags, more shoes, more food, more wine, more, because it's this bottomless pit, because ultimately what you're seeking is fulfillment.
Yeah, Ashe. Absolutely. You also work harder when you're out of alignment. Everything feels arduous when you're out of alignment. You know what I mean? Y'all, getting out of bed feels arduous when we're out of alignment. And so you want to be paying attention to the sense of ease. And I'm saying that for some of us who are still trying to find what is aligned for us, I just want to give you this opportunity to track your energy over the next 7 days. And you don't need to do anything different. Leave your calendar exactly as it is. And just as you're doing the things that are on your calendar, notice, wow, do I feel joyful about this? Ooh, do I have a lot of energy around this? Or whoa, am I dreading this? Or, you know, and then how do I feel after? Do I feel like, wow, I was dreading that, but this was actually incredible? Or, ooh, I was excited about that, but you know what? It actually didn't really do much for me. Right? Like, be in profound, deep relationship with you. That's really all what alignment is it's about your ability to check in with you and you, and to observe yourself as you're moving about your day and noticing what gives you joy, what gives you peace, what gives you fire, excitement, inspiration, imagination, creativity, versus what feels heavy, or draining or like enough or too much, right? Mm-hmm. Just like notice. Yeah.
It's so, I'm so glad that you said that, because I had this experience a couple of years ago. I had this kind of what I thought was an awakening, but was kind of like a breakdown. Like I went through a bit of a dark night of the soul where I had this sudden kind of my dreams, my childhood dreams were acting. And my first career before I got into this space, my first career was as a soap opera actress in the UK. And so I was in that world very much so. And that's where all my eating disorders and, you know, that's where I had like, oh my God, this is not it. This is not the life that I want. And so obviously then got into like learning about coaching and like doing my own healing, and then spirituality shortly followed afterwards.
What can you learn from next time? I think that's the other thing, like moving away from this is something I've been talking about so much recently and I'm so passionate about, is moving away from this instant win kind of mentality. And like, oh my God, it's amazing when you have those moments of quantum leaping. You know, I've had it in my business, I've had clients have it in their businesses, but I think sometimes we forget the beauty of the growth and the journey to get there, and how much wisdom comes from that, and how much personal healing comes from that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've ever had a failed launch, like the personal shit you have to work through that comes mm-hmm. up when your launch is bombing is real, you know?
Yeah. And that's really valuable.
So valuable, you know, and it's not just valuable for your business. It's valuable for you as a person. Those lessons that you learn, you get to ripple out across your life and your family and your friendships and your relationships. Like it's so valuable. And I think it's moving away from this mentality of like, I did something once and it didn't work, therefore I'm going to give up and everything's just going to shit, to, okay, I'm in this for the long haul. This is a journey. This is like a marathon, not a sprint, you know? How can I integrate these lessons? How can I look at these parts of myself that's coming up? And how can I still build something for the long term rather than just, oh, that didn't work once, I give up.
Yeah. Yeah, and building a business really is a personal growth journey. You're going to do a lot of shadow work along the way. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. Yeah. And we have to embrace that. You know, every time something comes up that's like been a challenge, been a failure, because trust me, there's plenty of them.
Yeah.
We get to look at that, you know, and we get to work through that, and we get to heal that, and we get to evolve from that. And you're right. I think there is sometimes a mentality of like, how can I get from point A to point B as fast as possible? Mm-hmm. And the universe is not going to do that for you, right? Because you're meant to learn certain lessons along the way. Mm-hmm. You're meant to heal and grow in a certain direction. And I think when you come into this industry, you have to really be willing to commit to like, I'm in this for the long game and I'm in this for the marathon, and not come into it with like a sprint approach.
Yeah, 100%. And I think even building upon that, it's actually an honor that we get to do this. You know, it's an honor that we get to build businesses and have all this stuff thrown up for us, because we could be going about our lives living the same patterns without ever actually really facing this stuff. I think the fact that we get to build a business and also go on this intense healing personal journey, we're so fortunate, you know? Mm-hmm. It's actually an opportunity. It's not something negative, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for someone that's starting out as a new coach in this space, whether they're coaching on love or life or anything, in terms of like growing their business, what advice do you have?
First one, and I hate to say it, because I hated this advice when I started my business, was like, know who you're serving, like know what your niche is, like know exactly who you're serving and how you're serving them, and not just know what tools you're using. Like one of the biggest mistakes I see newbie coaches doing is like saying, I'm an EFT, or I do hypnosis, or whatever it may be. You know, that is an amazing, and these are all amazing tools, but the person who's coming to work with you isn't coming to you because they're a massive EFT fan necessarily. You know, they're coming to you because they have something that they're in pain about, or they have a desire, and they know that you are going to be the person that helps them either move away from that pain point or towards their desire. Mm. So I think getting clear on what that transformation is and actually being able to communicate that outwards, rather than just relying on the tools that you've that you've learned. And I think that's the other thing, you know, allowing yourself to bring your unique flair to them as well and your unique message. I know it was something that I see a lot of new coaches being really scared of doing, and it's something I was scared of doing myself. But I think the sooner you can trust yourself and trust your unique way of sharing a message, and also just trust your own messages and your own lessons and gifts and processes that you've worked through, rather than always needing a framework, I think the quicker people are going to resonate with you and want to work with you instead of other people, because you've got that unique energy that you're bringing to it.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah, it's so true. So, so true. Mm. And what about the whole like scarcity mindset piece? Mm. Because I think a lot of people, when they're starting out, they always feel like, well, I don't have enough followers. There's not enough clients. I don't have enough money. And there's this like, there's this real fear of like, there's not enough. Mm-hmm. How do I do all of this?
Yeah.
How can someone shift into more of an abundance mindset?
Oh, so many ways. I think the first thing is just like looking around themselves right in this moment. So if someone's listening and they're in that right now, just taking a moment to look around you and recognize like how incredibly fortunate you already are and how abundant you already are. You know, we have an abundance of oxygen, you know, that we get to breathe. We have, you're probably listening to this on a phone. You know, you have a phone. Maybe you've even got headphones. You know, you have friends or family or people around you. We have grass and trees and ocean, and all these things are abundance. It's not just money. So I think moving away from it just being money is one of the first things, and recognizing how abundant you already are is one of the most amazing things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And I think like building upon that, being grateful for what you do have. Like I remember I would look at my bank account and I had like £20 left, and it wasn't even £20. It was like £20 left of overdraft limit. And I'd be like, wow, I'm so grateful for this £20. And I'd put some music on, I'd be like dancing, and I'd be like, this is amazing. And I think it's just constantly leaning into the gratitude of what you do have rather than constantly focusing on what you don't have. Mm. So if you've got 100 followers, if you actually Google what 100 people look like, it's amazing. If you get out of the number and actually look at that as human beings all together. Mm. It's a huge amount of people. So celebrating those 100 people. And if you throw a workshop, you know, my first workshop, 2 people showed up. You know, it was tough going. And then I had to like rope in friends to come to workshops. Yeah. Because I wouldn't sell tickets.
I remember that.
Yeah, I made a loss on one of my very first workshops because I'd hired out the space and I didn't sell enough tickets. Like, all these things, like, it's so easy to pick scarcity, but we get to choose abundance and say, wow, 2 people have trusted me enough to show up to this tonight and to actually spend an hour with me or 2 hours with me, however long it is. How incredible is that? Mm. And the more you lean into that, I think the more abundance you attract. But it becomes harder for that scarcity voice to step in as well, because you just realize how abundant you already are.
Mm, yeah, totally. It's about like being grateful for what you've got rather than wishing that you had more.
100%. I think once you're in that place of gratitude for what you have, you can still desire more, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not about like saying, well, you should be grateful for what you've got and don't want any more from your life. Like, I know neither of us are like on that vibe. Yeah. But it's just saying like, I can be grateful and still desire more. And it just like my whole body drops when I say that. Like the energy feels so much cleaner and clearer. Mm. And I think as well, if you are a coach or a service provider, people are going to feel that. You know, if you're in, I need you to sign up because I need to pay my rent this month, people feel that energy.
Yeah, it's icky.
Yeah.
So icky.
So icky. Whereas when you're, do you know what? I'm already so abundant and I actually want to pour into you and support you in this journey. And this is going to be an incredible journey and a partnership. People feel that instead. So I think it's really important to be coming into that abundance place. Mm.
And speaking about money, you know, do you feel like there's still like a lot of stigma and shame around like women talking about money, talking about how much they're earning from their businesses? What's your take on all of that?
I don't know, because I happily talk about it, to be honest. Like my perspective on it is when I was in my corporate job and I had no idea what was possible, there are other avenues possible, it would have been so helpful, or it was in some instances, to know, oh my God, I could be earning that not doing this. Just like expanding the possibilities. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there probably is some stigma around it still.
But I think when we zoom out of it being about us and recognize that it can help so many other people knowing that, the more amazing it is. I would say one shift that I've noticed personally is like, I'm less interested talking about how much money I'm earning and more interested in talking about how much my clients are earning now. Mm. Like, I feel like now I'm like, I'd rather spotlight them and like the amazing things that they're doing rather than necessarily. But I know I was so grateful to the women that showcased that to me. Mm-hmm. So when I've had the opportunity to do that and say, hey, look, like, you can actually do this doing something you love, I've taken that opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, it's really like women celebrating themselves and like how far they've come, especially if they come from like not having anywhere near that, you know? And I think like women have not been empowered around money for a long time.
I hope you absolutely loved this episode. If you did, come and let me know on Instagram. And if you want to go deeper with me, a reminder that the Queendom 2023 is now open for enrollment. Head to melwells.com/queendom for a year of mentorship with me all around feminine leadership in your business. For now, I hope you loved this episode. Take care. I hope your life is filled with love, sex, and magic. Bye for now.